Overkill, profusion, excess, surplus, too much, abundance. When it comes to the body of Christ, God is just a big show-off, heaping spiritual gifts on his people in an embarrassment of riches.
I'm Laura Pace.
And I'm Jessica Denny.
You're listening to Embarrassment of Riches, where we explore the wisdom, passion, power, and grace that God has showered on the women of Dallas Bible.
Hi, welcome to Embarrassment of Riches. Tonight we have Raven Atchison with us. Raven, hi, we're so glad you're here.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Laura, are you glad Raven's here?
I'm glad. I'm here too.
That's my favorite intro yet.
That one was good.
That's good.
We're moving right along. Well, Raven, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? Where are you from?
I am a Texas girl, so I've lived here my whole life. Was born in Amarillo, but essentially grew up north of Dallas in the colony.
Uh-huh.
Some people have asked me if that's a cult. It is not.
Just
literally had someone.
I've heard Terrell is a cult.
Terrell. that city of Terrell.
The city of Terrell.
Right. We are. The colony, the city by the lake is what it was advertised until the lake went away. So grew up there and even school and everything. Lived in Texas my whole life, so.
And by your shirt, I assume you're an Aggie?
That is correct. Class of 07.
Oh, you're
She's
so young.
You're young.
I was the class of 03, but not really. I was the class of 01, and I took a few big victory laps. So you were in the colony with both your parents?
Yes.
Okay.
And a younger sister.
What was life like in that, not Atchison home?
Garrett home. Garrett was my maiden name. It was pretty normal. Both my parents were there. My dad has worked out at American Airlines since I can remember. So we actually got to fly a lot as a kid. I think that was kind of a unique experience. Got to go to, Antigua and Islands.
Oh, wow.
And all, kind of all over, you know, just elementary school, middle school, because the flight benefits were so good. Mm. So younger sister, we played sports. I played volleyball, ended up playing volleyball at Texas Tech.
You don't say.
Yeah. Does the hype give it away?
You played volleyball at Texas Tech?
I did. And then I transferred to A&M. So,
that's amazing.
So we were busy family.
And life, what was life like?
I always did really well in school. I actually enjoyed school. I still really enjoy shopping for school supplies. And I'm trying to think of a career where I can just go to school
full-time. I just threw up my mouth a little bit. Sorry, I'm distracted.
I know.
It's the worst.
I know. The
biggest blessing in my life is that the PTA will put together a pack of school supplies and I can pay $45 and it's done.
Well, the fun part is shopping for what you want, not what you need. There's a difference. Mm. So I get that. Plus, I think it's different on this end.
I had a near panic moment when Kristen Botts texted me. Thank goodness Kristen Botts was in charge of school supplies at Mohawk this year, because she texted me like the day before school started or maybe 2 days before. Did you intend to buy school supplies for Lydia and Hank? Because I just have ones for Hank.
Whoops.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Yes.
Please don't make me go to Staples or Walmart.
What are you saying right now? And so luckily she had an extra sixth grade pack, but I was like,
oh my gosh.
I am not like you. I don't want to do it. I've never done it because I've been spoiled my whole children's career of school.
Yeah, you owe her.
Oh, I do.
I just like them for myself.
Like, so yes. Buying like the new, nice new pens
like those
and the
puffy
notebook
and
the new fresh
post-it
notes.
Those puffy little pencil packets that are like kind of like that, you know, like noodly carpet material.
I don't have any clue what you're talking about.
I haven't
right
seen
now.
Those.
Oh, I don't know how to describe it. Lydia,
so my daughter's
I want to pet it.
Yeah, she's not in school yet, so I haven't had that experience.
One more year of school.
Mm-hmm.
Buy it to the PTA.
I will.
It's an amazing
I've learned
blessing.
Through lots of people that that's the way to go.
So, childhood was
normal.
Just felt normal.
Yeah, my dad was Methodist, my mom was Baptist, so we kind of dabbled in both. Club volleyball, school. My mom was, you know, big PTA lady. One unique fact is that my dad was actually the one that would French braid our hair because he learned how to tie knots in Boy Scouts.
Nice.
And he didn't have boys, so he French braided our hair.
Oh, wow. That's really cute. Was he good at it?
He was really good at it, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. How did you come to know Christ?
I remember, it's weird because I remember having a conversation with the pastor. I don't know how old I was, but I'm guessing 6th or 7th grade or younger, just based on the house that I can visualize. And so that's when I was baptized. I don't actually remember the baptism, but that's when I, you know, accepted God into my life. And it was just sort of something that felt really right at the time. And my grandparents played a big part in conversations I had with them with faith. But it wasn't really, I would say, until the last 5 years or so that I sort of went from this kind of abstract Christianity or knowledge of God to like an actual relationship and daily walk.
What do you think changed like 5 years ago? What?
I went to a Bible church for the first time. I think that's really what it was. I always had kind of these moments where things would happen to me and I didn't take them as coincidence. Just growing up, examples of, I mean, crazy things. Like my grandfather wasn't sick, but two nights before he passed away, we had a conversation about what he thought heaven might be like, and then he passed away in his sleep. And, you know, when you don't take things like that as a coincidence, it just solidifies your faith a little bit more.
Sure.
But then, you know, through high school and college, I didn't really have any, I don't want to say like reason to go to church, but I was just kind of stable. I didn't have anything really crazy happening one way or another and kind of drifted, and it wasn't a daily walk or daily part of my life. And then some friends kept inviting me to church. It was actually McKinney Bible Church in Fort Worth, but I think they're changing their name. So if you try to Google
it, it's confusing. Uh-huh.
Because it's really confusing. People would show up there for a wedding. There's a city of McKinney.
Well, yes.
And then, yeah, so they're changing their name. But I remember the pastor there said something about, you know, God doesn't want to be there for just your highlights or your tragic times. He wants to be the soundtrack of every part of your life. Mm-hmm. And that's when it like clicked.
Mm-hmm. For me. You may not be able to see the face I just made because this is audio.
What was the face about?
Did the face not resonate with the visual audience either?
No, it was like part, I think, convicted, part disgusted.
I think that
maybe
was
picking up on a cheese factor.
No, it wasn't a cheese factor at all. It was a semi, I think you nailed it. It was part disgust. And what else did you say?
Convicting.
Conviction. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. It was part conviction, part disgust. Of sure. Like, yeah, that sounds like what Jesus wants to do with us. Well, it's always happened in my life either.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is so true. I mean, never do I pray more than when I'm walking through something tragic or hard.
Right. And it certainly doesn't feel like a chore then.
And I really, I don't mind being super thankful when something wonderful is happening. But just the day-to-day, he's not in the soundtrack sometimes.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think especially when you're, you know, pretty self, you feel like you're, I mean, we've heard this from other people on the podcast, but just being self-sufficient and think, oh, I can handle this on my own. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, that's, I think I probably said this before too, one of the points that Aaron made in one of his sermons that stands out to me most is that the idols we face in suburban North Dallas are comfort and safety.
And convenience.
And convenience, that's what it was, comfort and convenience. And it's so true. I mean, there are hard things that happen. But as far as when we're going to get our next meal, having fresh water, being provided for, life is just not that hard. And it's really easy to keep that as a...
I don't like it when you say that to me. That also seems to be a recurring theme in this podcast, is that like a comfort is an idol. Keep feeling like, you know, I feel like people keep saying that.
For our listening audience, just air quoted around comfort is an idol.
Yes, that's right. And that is reminding me, I just said, I don't like it when you say that to me. When I was, I guess, a teenager, my little cousin Garen, who was like about 5, if you ever said no to him or like denying a request, he would always say, "I don't like it when you say that to me."
Like, I feel you, Garrett. Like,
that's amazing.
I know. I don't like it when you say that to me.
Yeah. My daughter has said, "I don't want to hear you right now." I'm like, yeah. I bet you don't.
My kids say, "I don't like it when you make that face at me when I'm upset." Because I think it's not pretty. I haven't looked in the mirror to confirm that, but I think it's not pretty. So you started going, or were you going to that church, or were you visiting that church?
I visited, but then started going after that pretty regularly.
And how'd you end up at Dallas Bible?
From
McKinney Bible at Fort Worth.
Yeah, in Fort Worth, to be specific. I got a new job, and it was in downtown Dallas, and the commute from Fort Worth to Dallas wasn't going to happen. So we moved to Oaklawn, and I just started kind of shopping for churches near our new place. We weren't quite sure if we were going to live closer to downtown, because that's where I worked, or kind of closer to this Richardson, North Dallas area, just because we liked, you know, the schools in the area. And so I had originally looked at the Village, which ironically most of the people in my life group also at some point had tried to go to the Village.
We used to go to the Village.
See, it's this weird connection. And I got there 15 minutes early, which apparently is 20 minutes late because there was nowhere to park and it was just crowded. And so I had driven by Dallas Bible and was coming over here for brunch anyway. So I thought, I'll just look it up. And I think that was the same day that they hired Zane full time. Mm-hmm. And he gave sort of his welcome speech, and it was so awesome how passionate he was about the kids that it just felt like home from day one. And so I just started. And
how long ago was that going?
It'd be 2 years in January.
Okay. And so you already had Morgan.
Yes.
It wasn't pre-Morgan.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a time in your life that God showed up in a big way?
So I would say currently. we had our 10-year wedding anniversary in June. But my husband and I have been separated for a year, and I would, even just looking back at getting to Dallas Bible, feel like it was sort of this safety net that God sort of built around me because he knew what was coming. Because literally, like, I started going January 2 years ago, and that summer, a little over a year ago, my husband moved out, and by that time I was already plugged into a life group. I had already been like just growing and reading the Bible and just kind of really trying to figure out. It's funny how you don't really try to figure out what God really says until you start going to a Bible church that encourages you to open your Bible.
It's crazy that way.
And so, I'd really sort of been growing in that. And, you know, just before that even happened, hearing testimony and stories and just being able to look back and see how God prepared me for the storm that was coming, and then just sort of being the constant peace in the storm that's still sort of going.
So walking through the separation and seeing how God had equipped you, not that that made it easier.
Right.
You know, I know you personally outside of the podcast, so I know that that's been really hard. But to be able to look back and with that hindsight see, oh, that's why that's happened, or that's why that's in place, or to have that community around you when you're walking through something that can feel very isolating.
Yes. Yeah. And I think that was a big part of it was, I mean, just so many things. And like I said earlier, life's a little bit more fun or more, stable or satisfying when you don't really look at things as a coincidence. And just looking back at the timeline, I mean, I had a really good friend who lived out of state. She moved back, you know, about a year before all this happened, and we had re-sparked our friendship where we were talking every day. So when he moved out, she was at my front door like that night, and that wouldn't have happened, you know, a couple years ago, because she was in Tennessee. And then just knowing the job situation, I have so much more grace with my current job position than I would have had at my old job. And just being able to, you know, function and balance work and personal life, and just having a work environment that that makes that easier. Mm-hmm. You know, not easy, but easier. And mm-hmm. being able to look back, and I can't really make sense of why exactly all this is happening or how it's going to turn out, but it does help. It's just a level of comfort and peace to be able to see that he's had his fingerprints in all of this mm-hmm. the whole time.
Mm. So. And I think that's something I've noticed in you, is how you have maintained that perspective. And I didn't know you at the beginning of this journey.
Right.
But that you've maintained that perspective throughout. You have not wavered from wanting to see what God's doing, wanting to be aware of those fingerprints, and wanting to walk the path that he has for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that you've been so committed to that. In the face of probably people saying, encouraging you to maybe do something different sometimes.
Yeah, yeah. So and I think people mean it well.
Of course, you know, I think, sure.
And people, and that's sort of what I've noticed is, you know, everybody wants to be happy. I mean, everybody wants to be happy. That's not a bad thing. But it can't be like the end all, you know, that can't be the number one goal, because
what you're saying to me.
I'm sorry. Jessica's like, you're never coming back to my house ever again.
Now I'm teasing you.
I don't know. I mean, like, obviously waiting this out is not the happiest of occasions, but when I sort of, and I think people encourage me to, you know, move on or be happy.
People find comfort in the period. Let's close this chapter and see what the next chapter is.
Because at least it's not unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it just all along, it's been, you know, what does God want me to do in this situation? Anytime I've thought about closing this door for the sake of closure, it does not feel peaceful.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm type A. Mm-hmm. Okay, I went to law school.
Mm-hmm.
I'm slightly OCD. Like, my cabinets are ridiculous. Like, my closet, I mean, so the unknown is very scary.
I don't like what you're saying right now.
The unknown
don't
is
come
very
to
scary.
My house. You like
I've
to
since,
have your ducks in a row.
Yes, but I've since learned that I don't really care about that anymore. So it's just kind of funny how when you realize how little control you have over anything, that the things that, you know, I can control, I just don't really care that much about controlling.
It's put a lot of things in perspective.
It really did. And I think, you know, I joke with people, we've, you know, talked about how I'm a baby, because I'll be 34 on Sunday. Well, I guess I'll be 34 by the time this airs. But I do feel like I have an old soul.
Like Steve.
Like Steve. I know. I literally thought Steve was like a 10-year-old dog. And so
he just looks homeless and old.
Yeah.
He's really a wee pup.
A little homeless. So I don't know. I guess in a weird, ironic way, it's sort of fitting that I'm being asked to have the faith of a 60-year-old woman at the ripe age of 34.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It's been comforting also to know that people are noticing, just that I'm handling it different. Because I think that we're supposed to be, you know, the fish swimming against the stream, right? And not just follow.
Well, and you're stepping away from a culture that says, go find yourself, find who you are, make yourself happy, pursue your own individuality, and you know, that can be hard to bump up against.
Yeah.
So you're going counterculture,
right?
And yeah, people are going to notice that.
Well, and I think especially because I am in the legal field too. There's a lot of underlying. It's always been sort of a good old boys club career, and so for me to be a woman who refuses, I guess, in a way to give up on my marriage. And he had filed for divorce, and it was finalized actually about 2 months ago. So to be a woman who is divorced, but still wearing her wedding ring, still hoping for her husband and rooting for that is very countercultural and the women and let's be equal and kind of mentality. I mean, I think a lot of people can look at it as sort of a doormat type issue. But
you do not put out that vibe.
Your divorce is final.
Yeah.
Okay.
2 months ago.
Yeah. And that. So I mean, talk about counterculture.
To still desire reconciliation.
To still acknowledge. And I'm not suggesting that that's the path that everyone has to do.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Because there may be situations where that wouldn't be the most appropriate or whatever thing, but to acknowledge that God can still redeem things, that like that God's desire is reconciliation,
sure,
often, and that you don't have to just give up either.
Yeah, and I feel like it's sort of a moment to, you know, if I read the Bible and I say that it's true and I believe that it's true, then, you know, I think I'm being asked to live like I believe it's true right now. And if I'm going to go around and say reconciliation is possible and redemption is possible, then why would, you know, why do I want to close that door right now? And I feel really, and Laura knows this, that I've just, from 2 days after he moved out, just really felt called to wait, wait this out. You know, I've had dreams and hopes and daydreams and all kinds of just vibes about this sort of, not only, you know, just reviving my husband and our marriage. And so we kind of move past that, you know, and a lot of people don't understand that. And I, you know, I work with a lot of people that some are believers and some aren't, but they're asking a lot of questions because of this, and not necessarily just, you know, why are you doing that? Which is the obvious question. But, you know, there's a coworker specifically who has asked me just questions about God in general. And I don't work with people that don't believe because they're terrible people.
Sure.
They're like more politically correct, and Christianity can seem very narrow, because it literally says this is the only way. And we,
what's narrow about
it's
that?
It's so narrow. But I love that Aaron says, but the grace is so wide. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is something that people don't understand if they haven't had that experience. And so, I also have a weird sense of humor with all of this. So I'll just say, going back, I remember screaming the Oceans song by Hillsong.
I love that song.
On a bright sunny day, and singing it at the top of my lungs, and I would just say, beware, because at the time I thought, I can't really share my faith because I haven't had a rough childhood. I haven't had to lean on God for anything huge. And I'd said that to a mentor, and then, 2 years later, after saying that and belting that song out, it's funny that God's kind of like, okay, well, I'll take you out here and see what happens. So anyway.
And it's funny when you said that you felt called to wait.
Mm-hmm.
I was just about to say, you have been diligent and faithful in waiting on the Lord.
Yes.
And just really consulting him for your every next move. And at times, I think for people that love you, for people that know you, it can be painful, because it does. It puts you in harm's way. It puts you in very emotionally vulnerable positions, and still you persist and continue to wait and do things that you think you've been called to do, that he's called you to do, which is really cool. And again, just so not what
it's not
the world preaches around.
Right.
No, they can't wrap their brain around. I mean, they can't wrap their brain around not immediately divorcing someone that has an affair. So the idea of waiting on someone.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, and that's what, so even I think the Christian community can go, okay, you've done your due diligence.
Mm-hmm. You stayed the course.
Yes, you did what God called you to do. It's time to move into the next chapter of your life. And I'm sure you're like, yes and amen.
Yes.
But that's not what God's telling me to do.
Right.
So, like Don said, I'd rather be right in the center of the storm than anywhere else.
Yeah.
So if he wants me in the center of the storm, that's where I'm going to be.
Yeah.
Which is a great testament to your faith and how strongly God has called you.
And it's, I mean, it's hard to wait. And mm-hmm. It was sweet of you to say that I haven't wavered. And I think overall I haven't, but, I'm cool and calm and collected right now, but there are plenty of times where it is screaming sure. and how much longer and, mm-hmm. But even in that, I feel like there is just a bigger sense of peace in waiting it out than, moving on for the sake of closure.
Well, can I ask you a question that we did not discuss before? Because I think it would be good for our listeners. So in moments, we all have moments where we're angry at God.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why are you not hooking this up right now?
Right.
I've done what you've said to do. I've walked mostly unwavering in the path that you had for me. Why are you not giving me what I want, essentially?
Yeah.
What have those moments been like for you, and what do you think kind of brings you back to what you're called to do?
Well, I think I've learned a couple of things through that. And one is that my first tendency is to call a friend
mm-hmm.
and say, why is this happening? Why mm-hmm. is this going on? And just, vent. And in moments where nobody's been available, mm-hmm. those have been the moments where I'm sort of like alone on my bedroom floor and just completely raw and honest and open about it. And it's hard. I still struggle with that. I still struggle with feeling like I feel very confident that I know that God is going to use, I know that God will use this for good. I feel confident that I sort of have a glimpse of what that good's going to look like.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is I don't really know. I just kind of know what I feel in my bones right now. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I've been in prayer enough and in the word enough to feel like my, and done freedom prayer so that you guys confirmed that I'm not crazy, that what I want does line up. It aligns with, what God wants and what mm-hmm. he likes to see and what he can do. But for me, I think it's just been learning to let go even more. So in the moments of feeling like I'm doing what you want me to do, I'm waiting this out. I feel like I'm doing all of the right things. I haven't gotten on dating websites mm-hmm. I'm just trying to really stay the course. What helps me is to think, and I'm going to say this, and you're probably going to throw up in your mouth, because it sounds great, but it's really hard to do, in practice, but about just how much I don't see. Mm-hmm. And that's what I have to remind myself, is that there might be somebody that needs to hear this podcast before God intervenes. There might be someone at the grocery store who needs to see a little piece of this story. Like, there just might be other pieces in play mm-hmm. that I'm not privy to that, or people's hearts that have to change, mm-hmm. Because people that love me hate that I'm going through this. So maybe mm-hmm. it's a softening of the hearts around us mm-hmm. or just sort of building this audience so that when it does happen, that's one more person that got reached or something.
Mm-hmm.
So that I have to tell myself that on repeat.
Sure. 'Cause that's a natural big ask prayer
mm-hmm.
that like, for God to change this story,
mm-hmm. yeah,
would be an mm-hmm. obvious place of Him stepping in.
Right.
That mm-hmm. this isn't coincidence. That this isn't just things are. Right. It's like mm-hmm. no, a door was closed,
mm-hmm.
and then He opened.
Yeah, it's literally nothing that I am doing,
mm-hmm.
and I've read all the books and tried to learn what right things to say or do mm-hmm. or research counseling websites or whatever. And, it's when this happens, it's going to be very clear and obvious that it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
You mean you can't control other people?
Isn't that weird? It took me a long time to learn that.
Sure wish
Don't
I could.
Tell my daughter. she thinks I can.
That's good. So, keep that up. I love that. And it is so true. There's so much that we can't see that He has in store. And in ways that can make you deeply convicted, but it doesn't make it easier.
Yeah.
So I think those moments where you're screaming on the floor are understandable for what you've walked through. I mean, it's not, I'm sure it's not how you envisioned things going.
Right.
I almost said how things turned out, but we don't know how they're going to turn
out.
And I, you know, I was fortunate enough to be part of your prayer team. So I know, just where your heart is with what you're praying for and how deeply convicted you are to continue to wait and in the face of whatever the culture throws at you.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's really cool. I mean, because that is convicting, throw up in mouth perspective to go, there's so much I don't know.
Yeah.
And so for me to ask of this specific thing, you certainly can, but we're not guaranteed it. And to ultimately know he has what's good for us,
mm-hmm.
Planned.
Yeah.
If we're walking according to his purposes.
And I think that helps too, because, you know, life is hard. And I guess I just kind of look at it as if I don't have a trust or a hope that he's in control, if I don't really believe that and act mm-hmm. like that and rest in that piece of that, then, mm-hmm. you know, I can't even imagine what I'd be saying or thinking or doing
mm-hmm.
right now. So
just a puddle, or yeah. you'd be on a dating website.
Yeah. Or maybe multiple
yeah.
dating websites.
Yeah.
Multiple dating websites uh-huh. and the puddle.
Yeah.
Yes. Both. Yeah.
But the puddle would be swiping.
Yeah. Swiping right.
Lots of swiping.
Right. Swiping right.
That's true.
And the puddle on the floor.
Very true.
Well, I'm looking through our questions here. I feel like any of them would be kind of pointless because you kind of hit all of our big questions.
Over-prepared.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, because I sent you the questions so far in advance.
I'm an avid listener.
Uh-huh.
I knew it was coming.
Well, tell us quickly before we end, if you do have a specific big ask prayer, which, you know, maybe it's
yeah.
obvious to us, but maybe not.
So my husband is not, you know, walking with God right now. So the obvious big ask prayer is for his salvation. But I'm sort of a dreamer.
Mm.
So, you know, I really just, I want a revival.
Mm-hmm.
That's sort of my big ask prayer. And we have a lot of friends and family. Some are believers, some are not. Some are deeper in their faith if they are believers than others. And a lot of that wasn't obvious to me until all of this happened. And I sort of saw that I was leaning on God and maybe others didn't do that in a time
mm-hmm.
of crisis. And so, because this door has been shut and because I'm not in control of any of it, I feel like if my husband has a heart change and comes to know God and our marriage is redeemed and restored, I just feel like it would sort of spread,
mm-hmm.
Just in not only in our circle, but just kind of, you know, filter out to
mm-hmm.
his coworkers and my coworkers and everyone that's watching. I feel like
mm-hmm.
there's an audience of sorts and I want this suckiness to,
mm-hmm.
you know,
be an opportunity for God to show off.
Yes. To really show off in
mm-hmm.
a big way. So
can you tell us quickly how Morgan is doing through all of it?
She, I think is doing okay. She's my only kiddo and she just turned 5. And so a lot of times I don't know if it's, you know, stressful for her or if it's just a normal 5-year-old
mm-hmm.
kid thing. But you know, I think, you know, that's something that we do really well is we both tell her how much we love her
mm-hmm.
and we spend a lot of time with her. The time spent with her is very equal. He's an amazing dad and he really
yeah.
wants to be a part of her life in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she feels loved and secure, even though life is very different than
mm-hmm.
what she's known. You know, I think she's never felt like she has to choose
mm-hmm.
one of us over the other or love one of us more.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just an awesome kid. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, she's happy and she jokes and she's funny and she's smart.
She's super confident.
She's really confident.
Comfortable
yeah.
with herself.
Yeah, she doesn't know any strangers at all. So I think she's doing okay.
Good.
Well, we really appreciate you sharing your story with us. And I have been praying for you, but I am excited to continue to pray for you and for your marriage. Mm-hmm. And that God really will show off here. Yeah. And sometimes our idea of how he shows off is different from how he shows off, but I feel like he really is going to honor your obedience in this. Mm-hmm. And like your obvious listening to him. It's really cool. And it is sort of neat how he uses stories like this to kind of blow the doors off for other people too, mm-hmm. to kind of like, you know, we haven't released Caroline's yet, but by the time this yours is, we will. But I mean, Caroline Reddick's story too. It was, you know, she has this story that it feels like it's bleak. It feels like this is the end, and God turns it around. Yeah. And I love it when he does it, and I love that you're trusting that he can do it.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think he's already showing off. Just in your response to this tough stuff that you're walking through, and so regardless of the outcome of whatever he can see, to me, it's already a win for him, which is really cool that your life is being used in that way. So you should just love this.
Oh,
you
I love
just
it.
Love right. all of this.
Just start making t-shirts.
Yeah.
but what a neat gift you're giving to your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's a really cool gift.
Yeah.
For her to be able to see her mom just really, just trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
Just sit and wait. That's so hard for almost anyone to do.
Yeah. People used to tell me they thought I was really patient, and apparently I can learn to be even more patient is what I've learned.
I got it. I am patient. So can we hook it up now?
What's the next step?
No, it's a gift. It's a gift that you've given us too. And like some of our other guests, to share something that you're going through now is really brave. And so thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Well, thanks for joining us on Embarrassment of Riches. We'll see you next time.